K1037 aims to bring Kahnawake an informative, community-oriented, and diverse talk show to ensure a wide range of opinions. K1037 reserves the right to screen calls. Guests' opinions are not necessarily those of the radio station or its management. Now, Dede Watardan, all of us are talking on the Party Line Talk Show on K1037.
Welcome to Dede Watardan, Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Luann Stacey, and today I'm joined via the telephone with Connie Malush. Welcome to the show, Connie. Hello? Oh, no. Wait, hang on one second. We have a little bit of a technical difficulty. We lost the line. But today our topic, okay, here we go. Connie?
Yeah.
All right. There we go. Today our topic is Indian Day School Settlement, and Connie Malush is joining us today, and we're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to walk through actually an application to help people out. We're going to talk about a recent press release regarding scam calls regarding claims, and we're going to talk a little bit about some changes to the program. So welcome to the show, Connie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. There was a online workshop this week. Actually, it was yesterday. But a few people somehow had trouble logging in or whatever. So I thought, I just sort of thought this might be a good idea to go through how to fill out the claim form today, just because some people lost out there. And so I'm hoping people will, get ready with pencil and paper, and even if they have their claim form available, and we'll go through it.
Connie, I just want to check something out with you. How have people been still applying, and has the numbers been steady, or
the beginning of May, after people started getting checks, oh my god.
I took care of
over 200 people. Phone calls, texts, emails, that kind of thing, and it's back to kind of I get about I did about 25 this week.
So that's pretty steady.
Yeah, it is.
And still, there's other people who are applying on their own, right?
That's right. Yeah. There's kind of an informal network out there. I've been talking to a lot of people who are helping others. Some people help their family members. Just different people that are out there that are used to working with claim forms. But, when we go through it, especially for the level one, if you have all your information and that, it takes no time. But I'm hoping,
okay.
I'm hoping people will get a little bit more. But, not everybody is comfortable, I understand that. So I'm on standby, and usually, especially like with elders, I'll do it over the phone with them. Just sort of walk them through it like we're going to do today. And just explain the different parts that need to be filled out. So you were talking about the scam. Yeah.
Yes.
At the time of year, there was a notice that people are getting calls, saying that it's about the Indian Day School, and they're asking for financial information. And so this was on the website, and we decided to start putting a notice out and actually have a tag warning people, you know, whatever we do an ad or whatever, that there'll always be, you know, that we're going to keep it up, like warning people that to watch out for that. Especially right now, because it's income tax time, you know, becomes the norm, and to get these calls. I don't know if you ever got that.
I got tons of scams, and you know, if I don't recognize a number, or they're saying they're from the Royal Bank and they're calling from India. You know, it's not nice, but, you know, I won't answer the call. If it's a number I don't recognize, I will not. Yeah. You know, I did it once and I didn't understand the person, and then they're getting like violent with me. Then I got violent back, and then I just hung up, and then I blocked the number. But the problem is I've been very fortunate. I had Terry Cutler on the show a couple of times to talk about scams and talk about different things. Yeah. So I know a lot of the signs, but a lot of people don't know that. Saw that, I said, can you imagine? They took money from us, they hurt us, and now they're trying to get our money, even with the settlement for that. I was like a little bit upset. So I said, when Connie comes on, we're talking about it. You know, one of the things is if there were someone who had questions, how would they get a hold of an individual? And maybe that would clear this up.
Had questions about,
like, say if I put my application in and somebody, you know, so what would be, how would they get a hold of me, and how would I know it's legit?
Okay. So first of all, they would not be asking for any kind of banking or financial information. They don't need it. Because what they'll be doing when you put your claim in, they're going to be sending you a check. And I'd already talked to, because somebody had asked me if they had direct deposit, and they don't. So
all payments are via check.
Yeah, are going to come by check. So, and when we go through the claim form, I mean, you give them your name, you give them your post office, you give them your contact information. You also give them your social insurance number and your bank card number. And I'm not exactly sure what they use to look you up, but they have a computer system, because they can look you up right away. Like once you put in your claim, your information is entered into a database, and then they can track where your claim is at. There's a big process. I guess it would be. There's a lot of
steps, eh?
Yeah. So it's entered into, they get your claim, it's entered. Now, most of the time, people will get a notice saying that your claim has been received. And they say after 3 weeks, if you don't, call them. And right now, there's an issue with the mail. And somebody was really disappointed the other day, you know, sort of saying, geez, you know, like it takes us time, whatever. And the notice about the mail, a lot of people had already mailed their claims, and the notice came out that they, you know, to not mail your claims, it's going to take longer. And so I called them and I said, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because people are not happy. And so what they're doing is, because of the COVID, they're doing the mail in batches. And I think what they do is let it sit for a little while. So I guess so it's not contagious, I'm not sure.
Ah.
But they're processing the mail in batches. This is what they told me. So it's taking a little longer than normal. So they're recommending that people fax or email their claims. And I've been telling, especially seniors, if they're not, they don't have that kind of technology, especially, you know, to get a grandkid that has an iPhone, because you can get a free app for scanning, and you know, the kids can email it in for you if you're not savvy with that, you know, or you don't have that technology. It's like nothing for them. So, you know, you could do it that way, or some people do. Some people are comfortable or have, you know, I've been surprised like that. There's a number of people that do have scanners and printers so at home, so they're very comfortable with doing everything online, which is good. So,
and that's a big help, because I've seen some comments from different people saying, you know, the mail has been slow, or I need copies, or, you know.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as they receive it, and there'll be if you have an email address, or you can use someone else's. I mean, somebody asked me if it's okay if, I think it was her partner, if she could use her email address for her partner. And I mean, you know, they'll email that email address and confirm that they've received it. So as long as you're on top of it, or whomever email address is being used is on top of it, they just let you know that they got it, or even make a copy or something for you that they received. That would probably be the best thing, is to try to print up a copy of the email so you have it on record.
All excellent information. I have one more question for you before we go to break and before we do the form. In terms of an adjustment, I saw another email that effective June 15th, you can't make changes to a claim. So if we could just touch on that one as well.
Yeah. Well, I think it's as detailed as changing your level. And that has happened where they're asking that you really take your time and think about what it is you want to claim for. And that's a tough one for people, I've noticed, you know. So it has happened where people sent in their claims and they were a level one, and they decided, no, I'm going to change it to level two. And you were able to do that, but they're stopping it.
Okay, so that again is important. And I think one of the things, and we've spoken often, that they're going to be adjusting this as it's going. Yeah. So people really need to it's okay. You know, that people need to pay attention to these things. And very fortunately that there's been good information going out to the community from your office, you know.
The MCK communications are great. They're really good. They're great. Yeah.
So I can't say nothing about them because I just want to laugh. No, just kidding. Only because I'm friends with them. That's it. That's the only thing. Connie, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll work on the form.
Righto. All right.
Welcome back to De La Watarda Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Lent Stacy, and I'm joined by Connie Malush. And today we're talking about the Indian Day School settlement. And we talked a little bit about some of the updates. And one of the things Connie had suggested that we do is maybe walk through the actual application form. And I thought it would be an interesting feat. So there we go, Connie. You take her away.
Yeah, I'm hoping people who are listening, because I get a lot of people saying to me, you know, I heard you on the radio, but I missed this piece of information. So I'm hoping people take the time to find a pen and paper and just take some notes on things that might pertain to their needs while we do this. So we'll start off with the date, some dates. So as you had mentioned earlier, There's June 15th date. That's so people don't change, don't make big change the level to your, you know, the level that you're claiming. I'm just looking it up right now, timelines. Yeah, it's final. So they're saying, take your time filling out the claim form to make sure it's complete to the best of your ability. And that's an important statement we'll get into when we start talking about guarantors. But once you submit it, it's final. You can't resubmit or modify a level selection once the claim has been submitted. You know, so they were telling people to resubmit because they made mistakes on the school name. Yeah, people, that was at the very beginning. People were putting in the incorrect school name, and they were requiring people to redo their claims. That was early on in February when I started the, working on this. That was happening. So now what they're saying, you can't resubmit and or modify a level selection. So that's that piece. So that's, you know, something to pay attention to. So that's June 15th. The deadline for claims is July 13th, 2022. For that's the end of making any claims. So we're going to be encouraging people to try to make that, you know, make that earlier for themselves, because you know how that goes. We'll say, oh, I'll get it done. I've got all this time. Oh, I'll get it done. And then all of a sudden you're the day before.
Absolutely. So yes.
We don't want anybody to put themselves through that stress. So that's important. There's a video that you can go through, if you wish, on the website www.indiandayschools.com that walks you through how to complete the claim form. So that's good to know. If people out there are have the technology, then that's another option to calling anybody or calling me, or what if they want to do it by themselves. And in some instances, people really feel very protective of their information. I totally understand that. So that's a nice option for those that, you know, want privacy and want to do their own thing. Now there's some phone numbers, and I'll keep mentioning them as we go along. And the first one is they're all important, but the first one that's mentioned on the claim, on the front cover of the claim form, is called the Hope for Wellness Helpline. And that number is 1-855-242-3310. And that's the Hope for Wellness Helpline. There are people who, and this is true, you know, having processed a big number of people, people experience emotional distress over talking about this. And that is very normal, because it's childhood trauma that we're talking about. And the normal human thing to do is to try to forget about it and put it behind you. And so, you know, in some cases, I mean, we're talking 60, 70 years you know, or it doesn't matter how, but to me, you know, like I'm always amazed at the number of years that some people all of a sudden are remembering things going through this. You start talking to family members, it's traumatic. And so what they recommend that if you're experiencing emotional distress and want to talk, this is free counseling. It's a crisis intervention service, and it's 24/7, which is nice. So you can access someone that can just listen, that a professional that can just listen. Not to say that we don't have professionals, because the other option too would be to go through KSCS intake, and they are very professional there. But you have someone, if it's in the middle of the night, which sometimes it is. Sometimes people can't sleep and their mind starts going.
Absolutely.
So this is a really nice, good idea, you know, to have for those that are starting to contemplate or are in the middle of filling out their claims.
Connie, before you go on, I have some people who submitted some questions. Would you want to take those questions?
Sure, yeah, you want
okay.
to go through them?
Yeah,
sure.
let's go through them. There are actually some good ones that may help answer other questions for some other people. So this person said they faxed their claim and did the follow-up with them the next week. They were told that it takes 30 days to get into their system and a call back after 30 days. They were told that they're not in the system after 5 weeks now, and the person faxed on May 1st. So the person wants to know, what do they do? And at the same time, are they and wondering why? And it wasn't just for them, it was for a couple of people at the same time. So
I keep calling them, you know. I would keep calling them. I don't know what that's all about, but I would keep on it, you know, just and maybe what we could do is call them ourselves
to find out.
So this is a number of people, eh?
Yeah, it's not just one person. It's for a few family members that it was faxed in. So I understand the mail, but the fax, you know, that seems a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, a number of people from one family. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so then I think what we'll do then is we'll do some troubleshooting for them. This is really too bad. Because we really depend on them, and can you just go back to what they said was
faxed the claim, they did the follow up, was told it takes 30 days to get in the system and to call back after 30. They called it back and then was told that they were not in the system after 5 weeks. The fax went out May 1st.
Okay.
All right. I have another question for you, and this is a good question. We've talked a bit about this. If someone suffered abuse, how do you prove it, and how do they prove you weren't?
Okay. So
I know that's not the first level, so.
Yeah. There are things, and it's all in the narrative and what you write there, and we'll go through that. But if you have suffered abuse, there's a page that you have to complete, which is part 5. And I'm talking slow because I want people to, you know, I'm really being careful so people hear. So you have to write a narrative. And you need to be, as best as you can, remember to write the names, places, and dates. if you have any kind of documentation yourself, that's good. It's hard to get documentation, so that's covered by getting a guarantor. And I called, and that's a whole other story. I called them about the guarantor. Well, what does that mean? You know, what? Who are these people? Like, what's their responsibility? So, what the guarantor does is watches your signature, because what you're signing to is, and it's a professional, somebody who could be a teacher or a doctor, or you can have a nurse. There's a number of people in the company. A bank council chief can also sign. And so these people guarantee that what you declared in your claim is true. And there's a grid that they follow in terms of the information that they assess your story. There's no judgment. It's how well you complete the narrative or your story, how well you write your story, the information that you give. Because when it's abuse, whatever kind of abuse, there's certain things that you're going to write in there that say that you know that this is true. I mean, people could come up with stuff, but they're saying, they're giving people the benefit of the doubt that what you're saying is true.
Okay.
And your guarantor says that you're of sound mind, that you are a truthful person. And by the way, the guarantor does not have to know what you wrote.
Okay. Would a commissioner of votes do the same thing?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Okay, that was my next question. Connie, let's take a break. I have one more set of questions that came in while we were talking, and then we'll try to get back to the form. If not, I'm going to have to invite you back on.
That's all right.
Welcome back to De Dewatarda Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Lent Stacy, and today our topic is we're discussing the Indian Day School Settlement claim form and some of the information. I'm joined by Connie Malush via the telephone, and I have one more set of questions for you, and I think it's really great that people are submitting their questions, because I think it helps other people who may be having some of the same questions.
That's right.
This question is, why do claims have to be sent to Canada, and is there a reason for it?
Okay. This is a Canadian, it's the Canadian federal government class action suit. And that's the reason why it's got to be sent there. So there's an administrator that's been hired, because this isn't just Gunawaget alone. It is for across Canada. There's a number of communities that are eligible to claim that had Indian day schools, in them. And the process is going through the federal court. So that's the reason why we're sending it out to Canada, to a Canadian entity, which is Deloitte. They've been hired to take care of the administration, and so that's the people you would call. That's the people you would either mail or fax or email the claim package. I don't know if anybody saw the movie Erin Brockovich.
Yes,
I love that movie. Yeah, and that's a class act. So what they talked about, that whole movie topic, was a class action suit.
Okay.
And, you know, I get a lot of complaints about, like, it's so hard, why do we have to go through all this? But when you are making a claim about someone through the courts, you have the burden of proof.
Right.
It's you own the burden of proof when you're part of a class action. So you have to do the legwork. And the higher the level, the little bit more, the more legwork there is.
Okay. I have another question that's tied into this.
Sure.
Can they reject any claims?
Good question. I think that if you weren't eligible, I have not. They've been so positive about if you're eligible, meaning that you attended Federal Indian Day School within the time frame. It could go back to the 1920. So that's not necessarily anybody that's listening, but we do have people over 100 years old in town. But if you're claiming for someone who was in school from 1920 to 1988, then you're eligible if you were in an Indian day school in town. So in those years, it was, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but the names are different. But it would have been either the Protestant or Catholic schools.
Because I remember we talked about this, because there's quite a few schools, and many of the schools had many names before, what we have what presently.
And how they know, we honestly believe they must have some kind of list, but they're not sharing it with us. And this is always a big issue for people, because people have been calling, especially the education center, asking for records, and there are none. Their records were lost in the flood in the old at the old Ed Center building, which is now the library. And they did have records, but they were lost in a flood. So there aren't any available. And really, records, there's a legal time. Like, I remember working in an office, in dental office, and we only had to keep records for 7 years. I don't know if it's still the same. I think it is. Although, we do tend to keep records, but there just isn't any right now in Ganawaga. So, but that's the reason why you have the guarantor. And if you have your own records or pictures and whatever, that's good. And you only need that if you're claiming level two or higher.
So for the level one, you don't need the pictures. You just basically fill out the form, have the person sign, and that's basically it.
Right.
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 Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, they have to have lists. Probably government list, but they're not sharing it with us.
So I guess, maybe we can go back to the actual form and maybe start at the beginning. What is the important information that people need to have readily available when they're going to fill out the form?
Thank you. Yes. So, first of all, get your claim form. Now, you can get it from www.indiandayschools.com. You can download it from there, print it up, or you can call council. We were able to just hand them out before COVID, but that's not possible right now because the offices are not open to the public yet. So they're being delivered, and that's thanks to Rhonda Kirby, who volunteered to deliver the claim forms. And also, if you have questions, you can leave your name. Well, you leave your name and phone number anyway, but let them know if you want claim forms or if you have questions, because Rhonda will deliver your claim form, and I will call you to try to answer your question. So that's the first step. If you're just claiming level one. Well, all of the claims, first of all. I'm getting ahead of myself. And I keep trying to get people to slow down with this, and here I am rushing. But I realize the time we got left. Okay, so if you're going to do a claim, you're going to need your social insurance number. You're going to need your BAN number, and you'll need to have, well, you know it, but you're going to be asked for your box number. So the very so if you're claiming level one, there are four parts that you're going to fill out. The first one is your name and your contact details and your date of birth. And around the name, be careful. A lot of people believe that because a lot of women, because they had their maiden name when they were in day school, that's the name that they should put on. And in April, I attended one of the class action online workshops, and I asked this question. The reason, don't do that. Put in the name. I mean, if you're using your maiden name, it's good. That's okay. But if you are using your married name now, put that in. So there's your first, they're asking for a first name, a middle name if it's applicable, and your last name. You can include your maiden name on the space underneath that. There's a space where you would add in nicknames while you were attending school, or your maiden name, or if you had an adopted name. You can put that, there's a space for that. And the reason they gave me for putting in the name you use now is because that's the name your check will come in. Now, if you did already submit and you used your maiden name as your last name, and it's not, then you don't use that name, you did it because you thought that's how they're going to figure out who you are. We've already checked with the Case Populaire of Benawaga, and it's not an issue. It's not going to be an issue. So that's good to know. So if not, then you'll have to contact your bank or see if you can change it now before the 15th of June. They asked, so again, part one information is your contact information, your date of birth, your Indian card, your bank card number. We call it bank card. They have Indian status card in here, but it's your bank card number and your social insurance number, your address. They ask for your phone numbers if you have two, and an email address if you have one. And I get a lot of questions on the very last. It says claimant's current home community or communities, if it's applicable. Usually I just have people put the Mohawk Territory of Ganawaga. Part two, and this is where it gets a little tricky, is the schools. And the reason why it gets, first of all, it's around the dates and the names of the school. So anybody who went to school in Ganawaga, primary school, Indian Day School in Ganawaga, before 1969, it was either you went to Protestant or Catholic school. So, and they want you to put in the names that they have. So that's that schedule for school list, eligible school list, and there's a whole pile of columns that can get really confusing for people. But it's very simple to remember if you say you just went to Pattery Indian Day School, I mean, whatever, Pattery Deco, Sita, whatever we called it back then, you put Caughnawaga RC, R, big capital R, period, capital C, period, and that's for Roman Catholic. The Protestant, if you went to the Protestant school, it's just Caughnawaga. It's very simple. If you were at Pattery in those years, you mark for the location, you put the village of Caughnawaga, and for the Protestant school, it's just costing longer. I don't know why they have it written that way, but that's what they have on there. I don't think that's such a big deal. They're both the village. I don't know why they made it different location. If you went to or a family member that you're helping out, because we did this for my mom, and she was she went to school on the farm. So the name of the school there is Caughnawaga St. Isidore. And that would have been if someone was in school between 1920 and 1949. The Caughnawaga, the school, they call it the Bush School on Mohawk Trail. And that was, you know, another farm school, but on the other side of the other territory, part of the territory. We used to call it 9C. if people were there, oh, and the dates for that school was open till 1946. And then I think the children were then, went to a pattery. But so that's Caughnawaga Bush. I don't know why, but they called, the name they have that you need to use on the claim form is Caughnawaga Bush. When we get into students after 1966 was the first kindergarten. So wherever people went, I believe it was at Garunya Nuha. So there were people who were moved around. Either they started at Garunya Nuha, they went to Kateri, they went to Moore, and then they were back at Garunya Nuha. Or in other cases, I even had someone going to school up to four schools. So they may have started at what's now the KOR building, and that was called Gawenanoru. And so they might have gone there, then they went to Kateri, and then they were at Garunya Nuha. There's people that started at Garunya Nuha, went to Gawenanoru, went to Kateri, and back at Garunya Nuha. So, and then there's people, because their family traveled, they may have been in school at different times here in town. And actually, I've even had someone who was in the school on 207, and then they were in school in town, and then they were in school in Buffalo. So that's where the years become important. So if you went, another thing is that if you went to more than two schools, the claim form only allows for two schools, so you'll need to make a copy of that section two, which is page four. I'm just looking at it. I say it all the time, but I'm just double checking myself. So it's page four, part two. You'll need to make a copy of that, and then just change on the copy, just change at the top. It says name of day school number one, put number three, depending, and four if you need four. If you need to list four schools, so then
okay, Connie. Sorry, I have to cut you off, but we're running out of time here, and I guess I just wanted to give you an opportunity to give your phone number, give a contact in case people would like more information.
Yeah, so call council 650-6327500. Leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. And I usually try to do so the longest in 48 hours. If for some reason you don't hear from me, call back. Tell them you didn't get a call. But I always leave messages for people if they don't answer. So call them. So 7500. People who are friends with me on Facebook can text me on Facebook Messenger, and I'm usually pretty quick on that, at least within the day. I get back to people and answer questions. I do set, because there's so many, I do set a time in the day to take care of questions.
Okay, Connie. Thank you so much for calling us today.
We'll have to
reset this back up to actually go over the form. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Ana.
That's it for Data with Arda. Up next is Jeremy Zaffron. Have a great afternoon. Don't forget, wash hands, social distancing, and have a good afternoon.